I've read the fiery gospel written burnished rows of steel. As you deal with my condemner, so with you my grace shall deal. Let the hero born of woman crush the serpent with his heel, since God is marching on.
All right, welcome to Christian Overcomers, and thank you for joining us for this Bible study. Revelation 20c. Only the dead in Christ rise. Before we get into this, let us open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for this opportunity to gather together from all over the world to study your word. And we pray that you can help us set aside preconceived notions we have on things, traditions of men that may cloud over the truths of your word. And we pray that you can help us see the truth clearly, so that we can be better servants of yours. In Yeshua, Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Last week, we talked a little bit about the first and second resurrections. We talked about who was going to live during the millennial age. We talked about how there would be some in spiritual bodies and some still in flesh bodies. And that statement, you know, for some people, seems a little different. It seems a little odd because they hadn't been taught it. They had their teachers or teacher overlooked some of the scriptures pertaining to that, and even misinterpreted some of them. And we're going to point that out here today. Revelation 20 verse 4, and I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. Okay, so there are these beings on thrones, and they're going to judge somebody. They're going to judge the martyrs of Jesus here. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Okay, they lived and reigned with Christ in their resurrected bodies on this earth. Okay, in a spiritual body, no longer flesh. For them. Continuing on. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. So when do the rest of the dead live again? It says it really plain here. After the 1,000 years were finished. Now there is a teaching that says that all of the dead, we're going to get into it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, but I'll say it now and we'll say it again as well. There is a teaching that says that all of those who did not believe in Christ will be in spiritual bodies during the millennial age, during the millennial kingdom, as sort of a second chance. But that goes in direct opposition to this verse right here. The rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. All right, so that tells us that that just doesn't fit. And, let's continue on. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. All right, we're going to go back to this chart here. It says, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. So we talked about this question. Who populates the earth in the millennium? The 1,000-year reign of Christ. Well, obviously Jesus does in his resurrected body. The overcomers do, that group we just read about, that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and so forth. They will be here in resurrected bodies, spiritual bodies. But the survivors of the nations, and those, in other words, those who survived Armageddon, you know, there'll be many babies around the world. There'll be other people that did not you know, actually go and try to fight against Jesus at the Battle of Armageddon. You know, there'll be many women in various countries, non-combatants, and so forth. They will be survivors. And they will be in flesh bodies. Now, we're going to document, you know, hold on. We'll just go with the flow here. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 16. It says, "And it shall come to pass that every one that is left," these are the survivors, "of all the nations which came against Jerusalem," you know, they sent their armies there. These people were not part of those armies, evidently, here, "shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even them shall be no rain." Okay, so we have flesh survivors. The entire world isn't wiped out. You know, it's even part of the covenant of Noah, or the covenant God made with Noah, that he would not again destroy all flesh from the earth. Obviously, until during this age, until the great white throne judgment. So here it is. All right. But then the question would be, you know, I think I had this, let me see here. Well, let's just go to this question here. The question would be, it had been brought up to me. Well, this verse here, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52, where it says, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." So they say that, well, Pastor Ben, what about this verse? I mean, it looks like everybody's changed into a spiritual body. At the last trumpet, at the seventh, they say it's at the seventh trumpet. Now, it's even questionable whether Paul's referring to the seventh trumpet because, for one, the book of Revelation hadn't even been written yet with the seven trumpets. And, you know, trumpets were used for many different things. Those angels used those seven trumpets to declare war against the enemies of God. Now, there are other trumpets that were trumpets for gathering the assemblies. Back in the law, I believe it was Numbers chapter 10. And that's the kind of trumpet that this seems to be. Not a war trumpet, but a gathering together of the congregation. All right, check that out. I believe it's Numbers chapter 10. You'll see there are different reasons for trumpets. Now, keep in mind, could Paul have been given advance notice of the revelation that was given to John about the seven trumpets? Possibly, but very unlikely. So, anyways, let's move on. We're going to prove that this verse does not. We're going to go back and we're going to read all of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we're going to prove that not everyone is going to be changed into an incorruptible body, but that it will be only the believers. Just as we read in Revelation chapter 20. Where it says that those who overcame, resurrected, and lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years, while the dead, unbelieving dead, rose not again until 1,000 years were over. We're going to prove that today. All right, and I saw the dead. We'll go back to Revelation 20, verse 12. Because someone might ask the question, well, where did all the dead people go then? I mean, if they're not living on earth during the millennial age. Oh, it says right here in Revelation 20, verse 12. "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened." Now, these dead are the unbelieving dead. Those that did not believe in Christ. "Which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things that were written in the books, according to their works." Notice, not according to their faith, because they had no faith in Christ to cover over their sins. You know, in a sense, we have the easy way out, because all we have to do is believe in Christ and serve Him and love Him. and have faith in him, and we don't have to be judged according to every single one of our works. Praise God. But hey, if you do want to do it without Christ, you know, it's going to be interesting on Judgment Day. And the sea, here we go. And the sea gave up the dead, which were in it, and death and hell. This word hell is Hades in the Greek. Delivered up the dead. Where were the dead during that 1,000 years? Were they living on earth in a spiritual but yet corruptible body? No, there's no such thing as that. There's no such thing as being resurrected into a corruptible body. When you're resurrected, you're resurrected. But no, these were held captive in Hades. Because Hades delivered up the dead. That's where these people were for that whole 1,000 years, and everybody else, maybe even for thousands more years, going all the way back to Adam. They're waiting in Hades. Consciously waiting. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. So these are the places. It even mentions, I haven't gotten into this too much in detail, but it mentions that the sea actually had the dead in them, and death as well. These ones require a little bit more study, but one that's really easy to figure out is hell, Hades. The rich man and Lazarus. The rich man was in Hades, wishing he hadn't been there. If only he had listened. Anyways, we're going to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Because, like I said before, people quote this, you know, people quote a verse and say, hey, everybody's changed at the seventh trumpet, good and bad, into a spiritual body. No more flesh in the millennium. It says here right in 1 Corinthians. Well, let's see if it says that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Interesting there, there's the third day, on the third day. That's another topic for another time. But 1 Corinthians 15, verse 5, and that he was seen of Cephas, that was Peter, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present. But some are fallen asleep. Or in other words, some had passed on, some had died. That fallen asleep is just kind of a nice way of saying that they passed away. Their flesh body gave up and died in one way or the other. Or they were martyred. Verse 7. After that, he was seen of James, then all of the apostles. Okay, all these people were seeing Jesus after he resurrected. That's the point. This is the topic here. We're moving into the resurrection. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. Now, Paul refers to himself like this because he was the last of the apostles to be chosen. Of the great apostles, supposedly, if that's what you want to say. You know, at first he actually persecuted the church. But then Christ came and converted him. And that's why he refers to himself as born out of season. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9, and for I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. Now, Paul was a hard worker. He worked diligently for the kingdom of God. You know, there are spots where he was, you know, shipwrecked, he was beaten, he was starving, and all kinds of things that this man went through for the kingdom. And sometimes, you know, some of us labor hard and we start feeling sorry for ourselves. Like, oh man, I'm doing all this work and oh, I'm so tired. I got to get some sleep. And then we forget what those have done, what those who had stood up for God's kingdom before had gone through. With the persecution starvation and You name it. Nothing compared to what we go through today here. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? All right, evidently, some people were saying that there is no resurrection of the dead, which is it's nonsense. I mean, that's... The resurrection is the basis of Christianity, as he will say here. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also in vain. In other words, you might as well not even be a Christian, because if there is no resurrection, everything we've stood for, everything we believed, is empty, because it's based off of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the foundation of Christianity. Verse 15, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. In other words, he's saying, if there's no such thing as a resurrection of the dead, then we're all false witnesses, and we should be held accountable for that. But obviously that's not the case. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and you are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. In other words, there's no hope for anybody if there's no resurrection. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all... If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable, if there be no resurrection. Verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. In other words, it appears as though Paul's saying that Christ was the first one to resurrect into a glorified body. Verse 21, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Notice, in Christ. Remember, we're talking about the dead in Revelation chapter 20. How do you come alive? How do you partake in a resurrection? How do you get into a spiritual body? By believing in Christ. Because for as in Adam, all die. All are dead. Now here we go. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 23. But every man in his own order, what? In own order for what? To be resurrected, shall be made alive, right up here. But every man in his own order, Christ, the first fruits, afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. Now, did that say anything About the non-believers during the millennium? Did that say that they would rise again into a spiritual body? It didn't say that. He gave the order as Christ was the first to resurrect, then the first fruits, and then after that, that would be your apostles, disciples, and so forth. And after that, they that are Christ at his coming. In their order. No mention of non-believers here being transformed into a spiritual body. It's only the believers. As we're going to find out here, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 24. Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. Speaking of when Christ defeats all of our enemies. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Remember, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire in Revelation chapter 20? That is the last enemy that's finally destroyed. There will be no more death. But it'll be everlasting life for those who had not been judged into the lake of fire. For he hath put all things under his feet, but when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead? If the dead rise not at all, why are they baptized for the dead? And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantageth it me? If the dead rise not, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. In other words, what he's saying is, hey, if there is no resurrection of the dead, why would I want to fight, why would I want to be fighting this fight? You might as well just, eat and drink and enjoy every fleshly pleasure you can, because you might as well enjoy it while it lasts. You might as well get everything you can out of it. If you're not going to resurrect and you're just going to die. And it's sad to say a lot of people think like this in the world today. But now we know, knowing that we shall be resurrected and that we will answer for our sins, we don't think like this. We don't say, let us just get every lick of pleasure we can before we die. We don't do that. Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Here we go. The resurrection of the dead. You want the definition of it? Here it is. Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. He's speaking of the flesh body here. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it has pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh. But there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from one another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. You can look at the analogy here as Christ taught in another place where he talked about the kernel of corn must fall to the ground and die before it come back alive. And that's exactly what a seed does. If you plant a seed, I don't care if it's corn, wheat, pumpkins, sunflowers, beans. You put that seed into the ground and it rots and dies. And you know what comes out of it? New life. A green sprout. That's the analogy Paul's using here. He's saying, hey, your body goes into the grave. It dies. But in Christ, if you're in Christ, that new life comes out of it. The symbol of resurrection. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. Okay, the flesh body, you know, it's sown in dishonor, as in Adam, all die, right? But in Christ, all are raised. He says, you know, it is sown in weakness. Our flesh bodies are weak, but when we resurrect, we'll be raised in power. Verse 44, it is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam, just referring to Christ, was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that was not the first which is spiritual, howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. In other words, you live in the flesh first. Then, if you partake in the resurrection, you become a spiritual being, a spiritual man. The first man is of the earth. Again, that's Adam. Earthly. And the second Adam, second man, is the Lord from heaven, or Jesus Christ. As is the earthly, such are they also that are earthy. And as the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. Now check this out. As we have borne the image of the earthly, we also shall bear the image of the heavenly. Now I want you to think about something. Who is Paul referring to when he says we? Is he referring to all mankind? Now that's key. This is very important. Well, for the next verse declares to us who he's talking to. First of all, he's talking to the Corinthians. These are believers. Now, this I say, brethren. Brethren, okay, he's talking to his brethren. So now when we see we shall be changed or we shall do this, he's referring to the brethren. He's not referring to the unbelievers. And this lines up exactly with Revelation chapter 20. The reason I'm saying this is because of the next verses coming up here. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. All right? You don't resurrect. Nobody gets changed into a spiritual body on earth as a non-believer. Paul just says it right here, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. All right, if you're corrupted and you don't believe in Christ, you don't live again during the millennial age. You wait in Hades for the time of judgment during the millennial reign of Christ. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Who's this all? We shall all. He's talking to the fellow Christians. He's not referring to the entire world. That is I can't tell you how many times I've run across this, you know, talking to people, about various scriptural points, and they take things totally out of context. I mean, to be able to read things in context, you have to first of all realize who the book is addressed to. Then the chapter. Then the verse, then the word, and then the letters, if you wanted to take it that way. Everything's got to be in context. So you could just, you know, get out your Strong's Concordance and say, oh, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 says that everybody's going to be changed into a spiritual body for the millennial age at the seventh trump. Nowhere does it say that in the scriptures. Nowhere. And yet I've heard people repeat it over and over again. They say all flesh will be changed at the seventh trumpet. It doesn't say that anywhere in the scriptures. But it does say that the believers in Christ shall be changed at the last trump. That it does say. And that lines up with Revelation chapter 20, where it says that the dead in Christ will be priests of God and reign with him for 1,000 years. And that the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. And then they were brought before the judgment seat. And then they either went to the lake of fire or they made it into the eternity. But they don't get changed into a spiritual body to live on earth. The non-believers. For what many call, referred to as a second chance. Well, they try to say it's not a second chance. They say because they never had a chance in the first place. Hey, God will take all that into account on judgment day. When it says they're judged according to their works. We don't have to bend and twist scriptures to try to make God to try to make excuses for God. He is the judge. He will judge the heart. He'll know if somebody, he'll know he's going to judge them by their works. And he's going to know if somebody's truly repentant or not. Or he'll be able to look into their heart to know if this is somebody who can live during the eternity. They don't have to come and go through this all over again. They will be judged fairly. And God is long-suffering that all should come to repentance. He's long-suffering that nobody should perish. Of course, many will. But he will judge fairly. I'm confident of that. All right, verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Now, is this the seventh trumpet of the book of Revelation? The trumpet of the angels? Well, it could be. We can't rule that entirely out. But again, Revelation wasn't even written yet. It wasn't even revealed to John yet. Anything, these seven trumpets weren't revealed at all yet during the time that Paul wrote this. Moreover, those were trumpets of judgment, trumpets of angels sending judgments. Again, a trumpet can be just used for a calling of an assembly. So we can't be so... it doesn't affect this study at all that we're talking about, the point we're trying to make. But I do want to make that point is you have to be careful before you make assumptions. Because one assumption can lead to another assumption, to another assumption. And before you know it, your whole outlook on the scriptures is one big assumption. And I'm not saying that because it sounds good. I'm saying that because I've seen people do that. I mean, where their core beliefs, their outlook, you could say their worldview of what's going to happen is sometimes built entirely off of an opinion or an assumption to another assumption to an opinion to faulty statements. And it's very tough for them to unravel that, to get to the core foundation of the scriptures. And we just pray that people will open their minds and they will look at the truth. the simple truth instead of twisting and pulling on God's word to make it mean things it doesn't mean. Now, are we perfect? Are we all perfect? Have I ever done that? I'm sure I have. But this I will do. I will do my best to always just try to listen to God when he speaks. And if it doesn't fit my outlook, hey, I'm going to change my outlook to fit his plan. I'm not going to change his words to fit my plan or the way I want something to be. That's just been my philosophy ever since, you know, we started Christian Overcomers. Hey, if I believe something or if I had been taught something that's wrong, I want to fix it. I don't want to keep repeating something that may not be accurate. I want to correct it and fix it. No matter if it's embarrassing to me or not that I was wrong on something, that I might have even taught something wrong. Again, I'm not ashamed of that. I'm not perfect. I'm learning all the time, just like all of you. I will make mistakes. But I'll do my best to fix them when I recognize them. Instead of being an old stubborn wineskin, you know, like Christ said, you know, you can't put new wine into old bottles. You know, because people those old bottles are people who are set in their ways. They think they know it all. I got this all down. Everybody else is stupid. If they don't believe the way I do, they're not one of the elect like me. Doesn't that sound like a Pharisee? But, you know, I've had to deal with lots of Pharisees lately. Old wineskins. They get so bent out of shape when you teach something that they think is new. You know, they say it's a heresy. But it's only because they hadn't been studying the scriptures and letting the scriptures talk. Letting God talk. Rather, they want to do the talking for him. And they're going to mold the scriptures to fit their theology. Instead of letting God's theology, if that's what you want to call it, instead of letting God's word mold them. Verse 54, so when this corruptible, this is your flesh body, shall have put on incorruption, when does that happen? Well, for us, if we're living during the time of the tribulation and we're martyred, that'll happen just prior to the 1,000-year reign of Christ. And this mortal shall have put on immortality. Okay, this all happens at once at the resurrection, at the first resurrection. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And this, you know, going back to Revelation chapter 20, if somebody makes it into the eternity at the great white throne judgment, then they will have made it. Then they will put on immortality as well. All right. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. All right. The law tells you what's right and wrong. It defines what sin is. And ultimately, at the end of the day, according to the standard of the law, we all deserve death. We all deserve death. But praise God for this verse here. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me repeat that again. Remember when he says all shall be changed at the last trump? Who is he talking to? Well, he's talking about his brethren. Now he says, giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He wasn't talking to the world. He was talking to believers. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Okay, again, why did we go through 1 Corinthians 15? Merely to prove that Revelation chapter 20 means what it says and says what it means. That only the dead in Christ rise to be priests of God and of Christ for 1,000 years. They're the ones in resurrected bodies. They're the only ones in spiritual bodies. The rest would be the survivors living in flesh bodies, the survivors of Armageddon, the survivors of the wrath of God, and so forth. Just like Jesus said, hey, it's in the end, it's going to be, there'll be two in the field, one shall be taken and the other left. Means one's taken in judgment, one dies, but one's left. So there'll be survivors. But there will be a great depopulation happen by the wrath of God. But so we know that the non-believers, they stay in Hades. As well, it did mention the sea and the and death itself, but they're again they're not on earth during the millennium. They're not in there. All right. We talked about this. We're gonna go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, real quick here. Another place where Paul will talk about this same subject. He says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not," those had passed on, those that were dead, "sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." All right, it appears as though Paul's saying that those who believed in Jesus will be resurrected as well, and they will actually come back with Jesus in that army that he brings with him for the battle of Armageddon. That'll be pretty interesting. All right, verse 15. "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ." Now check this out. "The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so we shall ever be with the Lord." In other words, Jesus taught this in Matthew 24 when he said, "Hey, I'm going to come and I'm going to gather my elect from the four winds of the heavens. I'm going to bring them back to bring them into Jerusalem." I think that's what Paul is referencing here. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 18, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." All right. Little recap. I know it may sound like I'm pounding this in, but it's important. You're going to see it all over the scriptures when you're studying it, studying stuff about the millennium. We're going to probably do some more studies on the millennial age. There's a lot of stuff in a lot of different books, so I don't know how in-depth we'll go. I know Ezekiel, the final chapters of that, goes into great depth. We might do a highlighted version of it because, you know, we want to move on and get through some other books. At least you know where to go. Ezekiel chapter 37 through 48 all pertain to this time period of the millennial age here. But anyways, verse 5, it says, but "the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished." So who populates the earth in the millennium? Or the 1,000-year reign of Christ? Well, obviously Jesus does. He rules with the rod of iron as the King of kings and Lord of lords. Every knee shall bow. The overcomers in resurrected bodies will be priests of God and of Christ for that time period. And then there will be the survivors of the nations, the people in the flesh, and they will repopulate the earth. They will have children, and their children will have children, and so forth. So for the rest of the world, life goes on the same, with the exception that Jesus Christ is ruling the world with a rod of iron. The world will obey God's law. And but even then, many of them will still rebel against Christ, rebel against God when the 1,000 years are over. And we'll get to see who truly loved God, or who was just giving him lip service, who was just outwardly obeying his rule or his laws, versus those who had the love of God in their hearts. And we'll find out that many as the multitudes of the sands of the sea will hate him still. It's unthinkable, but that's what's going to happen. So anyways, the rest of the dead, those that were even died because of the wrath of God, even right before the 1,000 years, during the tribulation period, they will rise again for judgment at this time. Okay? No second chance going through, and no saying, well, they didn't have a chance and so forth. They've had chances. And if they hadn't had a chance, or if you think they didn't have a fair shake, God will obviously take that into account when the books are opened and they are judged according to their works. All right, let's let God do the judging. Let's not mold and twist and formulate the, because somebody will say, well, how fair would it be for God to let the rest of the dead live through the millennium for a second chance? That's not fair. I just can't see that. We don't need to say that. We don't have to make excuses up like that. Or we don't have to change scriptures to make it fit what we think God would do. He will judge them according to their works. And he's long-suffering that all come to repentance. And if he will do it fairly, if he sees in that person a heart of repentance, then who's to say he's not going to forgive them at that time and say, enter into the kingdom of God at the great white throne judgment day? Again, the point is, they don't have to come back and live through this time again in order for everything to be fair and equal and just. God is a just judge. And he will judge them accordingly. Hey, anyways, I hope you enjoyed this study. Do like what Christ said in Matthew chapter 4 when he was tempted of the devil. He said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So see that you study it. See that you listen to it over the teachings of man, over the teachings I teach. Hey, you check out everything I've taught today in the Word. And if it doesn't line up, then toss it out and go with what does line up. Because then and only then, as long as you have the blood of the Lamb covering you, will you be a Christian overcomer. Christian Overcomers is brought to you by the tithes and offerings of our listeners. If you'd like to support our ministry, please go to ChristianOvercomers.com. God bless you, and thank you for your support.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah.